Today we gather at the cross of the Lord Jesus. We look, we listen, and we ponder. And I want you to keep this text in mind as you think upon the cross today, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies become his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering, Calvary, and only Calvary. He, Jesus, my Lord, our God, God incarnate, by one offering he hath, past tense, completed action, perfect work. He has perfected forever. Oh, hear it, for time and for eternity. This atoning work will never run out. The blood will never lose its power. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's talking about you. You who have been set apart unto him, you who are devoted to God. Someone has said that Matthew 27:36 is the most horrible text in the entire Bible. Sitting down, they watched him there. The idly curious, the grief-stricken, those who loved him, those who hated him, those who attended as if it was a circus, but also you and I sit down and watch him there today. There is, of course, no way to exhaust the cross. It is the supreme display of God's love, as well as of human depravity. That cross was a travesty of justice, and yet the world's greatest display of justice. Sin there was revealed in all of its costliness and power. And yet, forgiveness was declared in all of its splendor. In a word, we don't wonder that St. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that cross and the truth enshrined there is a vast ocean, and it will take all of eternity for us to ponder its meaning. Of course, today I could choose many ways to preach on Christ and him crucified, but I will limit myself to the words that Jesus said that day. You know that Jesus spoke seven times from the cross, and you know as well that those seven words give us all we need to know regarding how to get to heaven. And that we should despair of no man. Those words tell us the power of prayer and the costliness of sin and how we can serve God and serve others and how we should live and how we should die and the state, all we need to know of the state of our future. Seven words. They have been described as seven windows into the heart of God, or as another has said, gold from Golgotha. Jesus made great claims for himself. For example, I take you to John 12, verse 49. These are the words of Jesus. The Father which sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should do. Whatsoever the Father saith unto me, I speak. If that be true, and it is, then every word from the cross is God speaking to us. And there's infinite value here. The first word from the cross, the word of pardon. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. The second word, the word of hope. Today you shall be with me in paradise. The third word, the word of practical duty. Behold thy son, behold thy mother. The fourth word, the word of comfort. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that you and I will never be forsaken. The fifth word, the word of salvation's cost. I thirst. The sixth word, the word of assurance. It is finished. And then the final word, the word of confidence. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I will leave you to ponder on that sevenfold message from the cross. But I take you for these brief moments to the sixth word from the cross. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that he shouted with a loud voice. So it was not the muffled statement of a man dying. Rather, it was the declaration of victory. It was the shout of a conqueror. It was the announcement of a task perfectly completed. It is finished. And it was the answer to all forms of Mariolatry or purgatorial fires, the answer to all forms of salvation by human merit or by our efforts. This word from the cross humbles man and exalts God. And in fact, it gives us a gospel to preach. And it assures us that love's redeeming work is done, fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. It is finished. You can rest forever in the perfection of the work that he did for you. Romans 8, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My text, by one sacrifice he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Or as Charles Wesley put it, my God is reconciled, his pardoning face I see. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry. The fifth word from the cross drew our attention to the person of the cross. Jesus said, in the agony of that moment, he said, I thirst. The sixth word from the cross draws our attention to the work of the cross. And those two, the it and the I of Calvary, are the greatest themes that the pulpit can ever be occupied with, and the greatest themes in time or eternity. The I, the person, the it, the work of the cross. And because of who it was who died there, and because of what he accomplished there, I assure you that for you, It's only glory by and by. When I cross the river to my home on high, only glory by and by. The death of Jesus was not a martyrdom. It was not an example to us how we should die. And it was not a defeat. It was a victory, a work completed. It is finished, was his cry. That tells me that the price of sin has been perfectly and completely paid. That tells me that the justice of God is satisfied forever. That tells me that a fountain is opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness by one sacrifice forever. Forever. Oh, lay hold of that word. By one sacrifice forever, he hath perfected those who come to him. You see, he has taken your condemnation and clothed you in his righteousness. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He had completed the work. There was nothing left to do. And dear friend, you cannot add to perfection. Shed your tears. Offer your prayers. Obey the ordinances. We are created in him unto good works, but tears and prayers and ordinances and works can never add to the perfection of the work that he did up there on Calvary. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Hallelujah. What a Savior.